Good evening.
This evening we are going to go over two topics. We're going to go over the saints, which will be led by our saint lady,
Kim.
And then you will go over the rosary, and Mary will teach us how to say the rosary. At break, right after the saints, over on the counter when you came in, you saw all the beautiful handmade rosaries that were made by Mrs. Aurora Gonzalez here on our campus. I will be blessing those, and each one of you can pick out one to take home. And I'd like to make sure that the catechumens and candidates get one first before anybody else takes one. And so I would like today to start with a prayer, and the prayer will be the gospel reading for today's gospel from the Mass. And the reason I'm using this is because we're talking about the kingdom of God. And it's very appropriate tonight because we are the kingdom of God, but the saints are also part of that kingdom. So let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." The Gospel of the Lord. So let us start tonight. No, you don't. Go away. Ask me what I want to do.
I don't know if you're aware now, but Deacon Don and Diana are on their way home this evening after visiting their family in Oklahoma. So keep them in your prayers as they travel from Oklahoma to LAX and then on home. And like I said, this evening, our saint lady, Kim, will be leading us.
Yes. All righty. And we have no adult supervision. So. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about Mary and the saints. So we're going to start out with a brief group discussion, maybe 7 or 8 minutes. And I want you to talk about these topics at your table. Share about your family, whatever you're comfortable with. Were you close to your parents or your siblings? Do you have any special family traditions? And how important is family to you as a whole? So take a few minutes and discuss amongst yourselves. Please.
Okay.
One more minute.
Guys, if you want, you can start writing it in. And if anybody wants to share anything, that would be a great time. Or not. Do you want to share with the whole group? Or just want to keep it table to table? All right, let's move it right along. All righty. So, anybody can name the song title, please go ahead. Or the movie title, excuse me. Okay, so if you're going to talk to your big, fat Catholic family, here's a nice picture of the Hunt List. Mom, dad, two children. It's outdated now. They have two granddaughters and a little grandson on the way, so that's a nice version of a family. But then you add it to all your brothers and sisters in Christ and your extended family, and that is our church, and that's what all you guys will be doing on the Easter Vigil. It's a very exciting evening, and we did pay the electric bill, but we learned everything by a candle. So one candle, the big one that we talked about on the altar, all those candles were lit from that one. So if we're talking about a big Catholic family, that is your whole family.
And it gets dark in that church.
Yeah. It does. So, no inappropriateness. So if you're going to be called to holiness, we're going to talk about the saints and what it means to be holy. And it comes from the Greek word sanctus, to make holy, and how they, we're going to talk about that, how they got to saint status. And then what does it mean to be holy, and how can we be holy? Does anybody have any thoughts on this matter?
Oh, the carpenter of Nazareth.
Okay.
His example.
All right. And what was his example?
Let's see. Loving the Father with all your heart and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. How's that?
That is very good. You are a cradle Catholic. So, if we're talking how we can be holy, what could we do to be holy? Anybody have any thoughts?
Don't sin.
Okay, well that's next to impossible. So, any others?
Try your best.
Try your best. Yeah, do you know what the definition of a saint is? You've been hanging out with Michael too much. It's a sinner who never stopped trying. That's the definition of a saint. That's the way I learned it, and it's the most comfortable definition I'm good with. So, okay, so what is a saint? So it's anyone that makes it to heaven, but we're all saints. We're all saints in training. we're not going to even be considered for sainthood until 5 years after we die, but we're all up for the running. And a sinner who never gave up. So that is what a saint is. Okay. And you need a hero because all saints are heroes, and it's like the Hall of Fame of the Catholic Church. You know, you got Cooperstown and wherever the football Hall of Fame is, but this is it. So you've got all these people, they're up in heaven right now, communing with God. And they didn't try to avoid sin, but they did choose virtue. I mean, they did try to avoid sin, but since that's impossible, then they got into heaven for other reasons. And we talked about Teresa of Calcutta a couple of weeks ago, that she chose to give the lepers and all those people a death and have them be loved. And they were... What's the word when you were exiled? They were exiled from people. Yes. Stop it. I'm nervous. All right. So it's like a family member. They're like the ways of getting any place. You give them directions to your home, and we're here to greet you, and the saints give you directions in your life. And that's a pretty big deal because you've got hundreds of them up there in heaven who can intercede for you, but you're not praying directly to them. Okay, so what do saints do for us? First of all, they have their whole comic book lineup, and I didn't know this, but yes. Yes, so the life of Pope John Paul II, who was the Pope when I was a small child. So they inspire us, and they tell us what we can do instead of what we can't do. And they lead by example, and we pray to them to intercede for us on our prayers and petitions. So we're going to watch a video of how saints get canonized, and it's a Busted Halo video, and in 5 minutes, you'll have the whole story. It's going to be fun. But we're a little technologically slow,
yes.
But so we're working on it.
When having saints intercede for us is like having your own staff.
Can you?
Pretty much. Oh, yeah, she broke it. Everybody close their eyes. Okay, we broke it.
Yeah, just have to use the clicker.
Okay. I have the clicker, but it's not going back.
Okay, this is what I said though. They come about, okay, guys?
Just fall to the previous. Yep.
I am. That's what I'm
getting.
Matthew,
get it.
Nope,
you're
going the wrong way. Yeah, we broke it.
Okay.
Another option, you can press escape.
Okay, so we'll be able to click the link.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just trying to get back to that slide.
Is...
What? Hey, who's better at this than me?
Michael?
No.
Right there, canonization.
Right there.
Canonization, yep. Go down to number 8. There we go. All right.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay.
Click outside that, then go back into it.
There we go. Okay.
I'd go back to it and just do left click. This is just a left one. Yep. Double click it.
Oh boy.
Wait.
Okay, here we go. Yay.
Okay, it might be playing two of them though.
You probably know that periodically the Catholic Church recognizes you, holy men and women, as its official saints.
There you go. You're perfect.
I want to know how the Catholic Church declares someone a saint. Periodically, the Catholic Church recognizes new holy men and women as its official saints. But what exactly are the steps to canonization, that is, being named a saint by the Catholic Church? The process has actually changed throughout history. In the first centuries, it was by acclamation of the community that sainthood was pronounced, sort of a spiritual popularity contest. But because the stories of some of the early saints' lives were later found to be exaggerated or even purely legend, this method eventually gave way to a more structured process. So, in the Middle Ages, a new path to sainthood was prescribed, a set of rules we pretty much still use today. Here's what happens. First of all, and probably most obvious, a person has to have died in order to be considered an official saint in the church, because we believe the saints are in heaven with God. So at some point after their death, some fan of the potential saint, like someone who knew them or a member of their religious community, asks their local bishop to begin the cause for canonization. Once the bishop agrees, the potential saint receives the title of Servant of God. And a formal review is undertaken at the local level, guided by historians and theologians. Then the bishop may decide to send the cause to Rome. The Congregation for the Causes of Saints, an entire department at the Vatican devoted to the sainthood process, then determines if the person in question demonstrated heroic sanctity in their lifetime worthy of imitation. That is, did they live a life marked by virtuous actions? Doing good works out of love of God and neighbor? If so, with the Pope's decree, they are declared venerable. Next, the search begins for proof that a miracle occurred through the person's intercession since they have died. Note that this is not a miracle that happened while they were alive, like cases where saints have reportedly levitated or experienced the wounds of Christ. In the eyes of the church, a miracle attributed to someone after their death is evidence that the person is indeed in heaven with God, interceding for us here on earth. Catholic belief is that it is actually God that performs the miracle. The potential saint is essentially being credited with an assist, like in hockey or basketball. The process of confirming that a miracle truly happened is exhaustive. Miracles for sainthood are not limited to medical cures, but in practice they almost always are. And a miraculous cure must meet three stringent criteria. It must be instantaneous, lasting, and inexplainable. Instantaneous, meaning that a person goes from very sick or terminally ill to healthy in a very short period of time, usually days. Lasting, meaning it was not a fluke or a brief remission, the cure needs to last for at least a year or more. And unexplainable, meaning that the person's return to health may not be even possibly attributed to any other course of treatment. To verify these criteria, doctors and scientific experts scrutinize medical records and weigh in on the credibility of these claims. Even non-religious skeptics are invited to try to disprove the miracle. On top of all that, there must be evidence that people prayed for the intercession of the would-be saint before the miraculous cure happened, and that they did not enlist the help of any other saint. It's okay to pray to God or Jesus directly, of course, but you can't hedge your bets by also including ringers like St. Jude or even the Virgin Mary. So once there is proof that a miracle resulted from the aspiring saint's intercession, the person may now be officially called blessed. The ceremony during which this happens is called beatification, and is most often held in the local diocese that has promoted this person's sainthood cause. At this point, a feast day is chosen to be celebrated in certain places having to do with this blessed person, and churches and schools may be named after them. And now the search begins for a second miracle that can be shown to have happened after the beatification, using the same stringent process just described. Once miracle number two is verified and approved by Rome, the person may then be officially canonized, which means that the Pope declares them a saint. This ceremony almost always happens at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, and is presided over by the Pope himself. Once canonized, a saint is recognized by the Universal Church, and their feast day may be celebrated all around the world. Now, that's the official process. Of course, there are always exceptions. For instance, a martyr, someone who has died voluntarily as a witness to the faith, requires only one miracle for canonization, not two. The Pope can also decide to dispense with a second miracle, even for a non-martyr, as Pope Francis did with Pope John the 23rd. And then there's equivalent canonization, in which someone who is unofficially considered a saint in certain cultures or countries can be officially declared one through papal decree, rather than through the full canonization process. It's important to note that the Catholic Church does not believe that through any of these processes a holy person becomes a saint. We're merely recognizing their sainthood. It's our earthly way of officially affirming that they are indeed in heaven with God, hearing and assisting with our prayers. And now you know how the Catholic Church officially goes about declaring someone a saint.
There were a couple of people just canonized, but I forgot the card because I came right from work, so you'll have to forgive me. Or not. And when they say that, it's usually at St. Peter's Basilica. A few years ago, Juanipero Serra was canonized, and they did that right here in America, which is unusual. So you might be asked that on Jeopardy at some point. Yes. It's a real show. All right. So we have the saints of the past, and some of these we talked about. Last year, I talked about St. Michael.
and St. Monica. Yeah, and it wasn't for you. And St. Joseph, St. Lucy, all these people. We talked about St. Patrick. And then we've got some of the newer saints. We discussed Teresa of Calcutta. And I was going to do Elizabeth Ann Seton, but then I got tasked with this. So maybe in a few weeks we'll do that. So those are our modern day saints. And these people were canonized so recently that you probably remember them all at some point. So, do you have any questions?
Good.
All right. And then this is Mary. Yes.
Before we get started, the little busted handle clip made it like becoming a saint is really easy. It's a long, drawn-out process. It can take years. And once a person's name is submitted to Rome, there's a whole group of cardinals and bishops that will look at this person, and one, they'll say, okay, do they really deserve this? Is there enough background information on this person to even they be considered? And then they'll go and talk to people. They'll talk to people like us, say, did you know so-and-so? What was their life like? What did they do? Why should they be made a saint? So it's a real long process. And we've been blessed with St. Kateri Tekeweta, the Native American, and then Blessed Juanita Rosera, you know, our patron of Ventura. And that was a very hard sainthood to get through because there was a lot of protest against Juanita Rosera, and there was a lot of discussion pro and con, even from the secular people on that one. So when people say a person is up from sainthood, you may not see it happen in your lifetime. It may be that long of a process. It may take years for a person, from the minute that they're presented in Rome to their actual canonization. It could be a long, long time. So that's something when we do pray to the saints for intercession, to really consider their life journey and their struggles and what they went through. And then that should be something for us to really look forward to, that I always considered my mom a saint. She dealt with me and my brother. And Mary's mom is a saint. I mean, she dealt with me too. So. But they're not canonized, but they're in heaven. They're looking after us and they're taking care of us. And so that's what I consider. You know, I always say, people say, how's your mom? Well, my mom's a saint. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right.
Yay! Thank you, Kim. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about Mary, and then when we finish with that, then we're going to take a little break, and you'll be able, Deacon Phil will bless the rosaries, and then we'll come back, and we're going to pray the rosary at our tables. How many of you have prayed the rosary before? Your tables. Okay, good. So if you haven't, don't be nervous, because your table mates, we're going to just walk through it really slowly, so it'll be fine. So for right now, we're going to have a little table discussion for a little bit about what is your relationship with your mother, and have you ever connected with someone who was like a mother to you? So we're going to go ahead and just talk for about 5 minutes, and then we'll call it back.
Okay, everybody. Okay, let's bring it back in, guys. I shared with you about my mom being a saint because she had to put up with my brother and I. But my mom really was a saint when she was alive, and I respect both her and my dad. Both of them have passed away. They both died in 95 and 98. But I had a really good relationship with my mom and dad, and my mom worked really hard. And she was somebody I could go to, and that's why I really consider her a saint, is because she really, really struggled and put up with four kids and kept a house and worked hard and led a good Catholic life. And she was very active in the parish down in Anaheim, St. Boniface, and lived dearly. So if you'd like to share, talk about your mom.
I haven't heard the knowledge of his mom. Okay, nothing to do with cheesecake.
And only, you only need a little to go along with
it. That's only since she's gotten quite a bit older.
That's a good analogy. I like that.
Yeah. Love my mom and dad. Love going and visiting her, but when she comes and stays for like, you know, 2 weeks, it's like...
That's like 13 days too long.
I have a good one. I can't have social media because my mother won't leave me alone. I can't have a Facebook page or anything.
Wow.
She's just all over that stuff.
I have a great explanation of my mother. I went to the military for 12 years. Came back from the military and my father said, "We still have your room. Why don't you come in and stay with your mother and I?" And she was yelling at me because at 18 I left, 18 in a second, because you didn't even stay. And I said, "Mom, I'm supposed to leave." So when I came back, I said, "Okay." I spent 36 hours with my mother. And after the military and in college and all this other stuff, after 36 hours with my mom, I said, "I love you, Mom. I'll take a bullet from you and I'll never get a motel." She wanted to make sure that my underwear was good. And that, you know, you can't stay on out late. I can't sleep without you. You know, was it did you hang up your socks? And and like I said, was it all mothers are great. They always, and by the way, my mother to this day, I'm 65 years old, and she still asks me if I'm wearing clean underwear.
Can we say TMI?
But she's a good compliment woman.
All right. That's great.
How about a sister? Anything you want to share?
Well, my mom just turned 95.
Wow.
And so I feel very grateful and blessed. She's not with her mentally most of the time, but she still recognizes that. But then she's off in her own world, very happy in that place. But I feel at this point in time, I was close to my mother growing up. Now I just feel very lucky that we still have her with us.
How about
this,
Jason? Anyone want to share? You don't have to share.
My mom's the child in our relationship.
I like that one. I'd like to share with the second question. Have you ever connected with someone who's like a mother to you? In here at Our Lady of Assumption, there were five of us deacons that were ordained together in 2011 with 43 other men down at the cathedral in Los Angeles. And one of the deacons' mom is a good Southern woman, and she makes the best fried chicken.
No, Midwest.
Midwest. But she's still killer fried chicken. Mm-hmm. And she's our mom. She's the deacon's mom to five of us guys. And she'll admit it. And whenever I need just that mom love, I'll go and give her a hug. And she said something to me on Sunday. She said, "I'm your mom, but you have a different biological parents, but she's still my mom." So that's somebody who I connected with. And it's just a beautiful thing to have.
How about this table? Do you have anything to share about a mom? Or like a mom? Okay. That's okay. In your heart.
Before we get started with Mary, there was something I wanted to bring back up with the saints. Every once in a while I get a question asked, "Deacon, how many saints are there?" And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of saints. And every day of the year is a feast day for a particular saint. So if you went to Mass during the week and you looked at the top of your missaletto saying, "Today is the feast day of this saint." And on Monday, October 29th, it was the feast day of the saint Narcissus. And I looked that up thinking, well, Narcissus? But Narcissus was a patriarch in early Jerusalem, in 99 to 126 AD, Jerusalem. And he really was a good, faithful follower. And he's recognized not only by the Catholic Church, but by the Eastern Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. So that's fascinating. So every day I look up what the feast day of the saint is. And whoever you're named after might be a feast day coming up. You should look that up to see, especially when you're getting your confirmation saint. You look that up. And then people say, "Well, hey, Deacon, is St. Christopher is still a saint?" And that's kind of up in the air. That's like a legend or a semi-myth about St. Christopher.
that when Father Dave was doing his video, early saints that weren't really canonized properly may not be saints to this day. They may have been decanonized because there wasn't enough proof that they were saints. So those are things I just wanted to bring up, that we take saints seriously. And they are beautiful people, and if we pray for their intercessions to Jesus, they will really help us. Don't bury a statue of St. Joseph upside down in your yard beside your house. I don't think that really works.
Yeah.
But do pray to St. Anthony. Help you find your car keys.
All right. Well, let's see if I can do half as well as Kim. Okay, there's something about Mary. The Immaculate Conception. And with the Immaculate Conception, a lot of people have the misconception that this talks about the Jesus when he was conceived, and it's not. It's actually when Mary was conceived, because she was conceived without sin. And so in the Catholic Church, in regards to Mary, the official statement of the doctrine reads, "The Blessed Virgin, to have been from the first instant of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, in view of the merits of Christ Jesus, the Savior of mankind, preserved free from all stain of original sin." And essentially, the Immaculate Conception is a belief that Mary was protected from original sin because she was already ordained to be the Mother of God. So she did not have a sinful nature at all. She was in fact sinless. So she and Jesus, the only two that were born without sin. The Mother of God, Mary, is the perfect disciple. And the perfect disciple of Christ is one who we talked about, who is holy and always is serving Christ, never betrays or abandons Christ, and always leads others to follow Christ. And that's why we pray to Mary. We're praying through her, and we're asking her to please lead us closer to her Son, because that is what she is doing for us. So the Catholic Church views Mary, the mother of Jesus, as a perfect disciple of Christ. And we honor Mary with special devotions, which mean that we regard her with respect and admiration. So we worship Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, but we respect and admire the Virgin Mary. And Mary surrendered her whole life to Jesus. And she became his mother, and she brought forth the word of God. So it's because she followed her life, she gave her life so much for Jesus, that is why we admire her, and we pray through her for her to help us to draw closer to her Son. She encouraged Jesus' first miracle. Do you know what the first miracle was?
Water into wine.
In the Bible, it's the wedding feast at Cana. And they were at a wedding with the disciples also, and they ran out of wine. And she asked Jesus to please do something. You've got to do something. And he says, it's not my time yet. But as a good, son, he obeyed his mother and he did something. He turned water into wine. And Mary told the servants, she said, just do as he tells you to do. And it was the best wine that they had. And that day was praised for serving the best wine at the end of the day. So that was then that Jesus revealed his glory. And it was then that his disciples started to believe. The Assumption. That is the name of our parish, Our Lady of the Assumption. And I have the pendant that I think you could still purchase it in church at the rectory, and it's of our mural that's behind the altar. And the assumption of Mary into heaven is the belief of Catholic of the Catholic Church that she was bodily taken up into heaven, and when at the end of her earthly life. And you know, there's two views on this. Some say that she actually died and then was laid in the tomb and then taken up into heaven, and others say she just fell asleep and then she was assumed into heaven. So whatever it is, you know, we know that she was assumed into heaven completely in her body. And her body and soul went together up into heaven. So she did not know decay at all. And then we have some apparitions. How many of you heard of Fatima or Our Lady of Guadalupe or Lourdes? Has anyone ever traveled to any of these places? You have? You have? Our Lady of Guadalupe is actually, and St. Juan Diego are in our church. They arrived yesterday, and they will be there through Friday. And so if you would like, I have rosaries. Special rosaries from last night. We had a bilingual rosary last night. So there's Spanish and English. And I have them in the back. So you can take them tonight. And if you ever have the opportunity to go in church, and you can just pray yourself. And this will help follow along with the rosary.
Not listed up there, but I had a lot of family go to Medjugorje.
Yeah, it's... I haven't, but I would love to go one of these days. So, Our Lady of Fatima, May 13th, 1917, in the city of Portugal, the Virgin Mary appeared to three children as they were tending to their sheep. And in the well water on the property owned by one of the family members of the children, they saw an apparition of a beautiful woman holding a rosary in her hand. As a storm broke and the children ran for cover, they again saw the vision of a woman in the air just above an oak tree who reassured them not to be afraid. She said, "I come from heaven." And in the days following, she appeared six more times. And she was telling them, the last being in October of 1917, and she instructed them all to pray the rosary to the end of World War I. So during the course of these visits, the apparition said to have given the children five different prayers, one of which would later become known as the Fatima prayer. And that's what we pray when we pray the rosary. So we will go over that prayer tonight. And then Our Lady of Guadalupe, as I said, the images are over in church. They arrived yesterday. And Juan Diego, I love this because, you know, you're never too old for God to use you. Juan Diego was 57 years old when the Virgin Mary appeared to him. And our Blessed Mother asked that a temple be built on the site of her appearance. And Our Lady asked Juan Diego to climb to the top of a hill where he would find flowers unlike any that he had seen before. And he was to keep them hidden in his tilma and take them to the bishop. And the skeptical bishop made Juan Diego wait for 2 days before he saw him. And then he called him in. And he goes, "Okay, show me your proof." And he opened up his tilma, which is like his cloak, and these beautiful roses fell to the ground. And they were still beautiful, like they were just picked, although they had been under his tilma for 2 days. And when he opened his tilmas, they fell to the ground, was the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And his tilma is just made out of cactus fibers, and at the most it lasts 30 years at the very most, and it's still completely preserved to this day. So the last one we're going to talk about is Our Lady of Lourdes. And there were of these apparitions, they happened in February of 1858 when Bernadette, who was 14 years old, told her mother that a lady spoke to her in a grotto while she was gathering firewood with her sister and her friend. And in subsequent visitations, Bernadette heard the lady speak, "I am the Immaculate Conception," and she asked that a chapel would be built there. And at first, the children were very ridiculed by all the townspeople and by the parish priest. So they just didn't believe him, any of the church officials. But she insisted, the 14-year-old girl, she kept insisting of what she saw. And finally, they believed. They finally believed her. And she was canonized as a saint in 1933. And similar apparitions of the lady were reported on 17 different occasions on that year. And people go to the site all the time, and miraculous healings have been claimed there. So if you ever have the opportunity to go to any of these sites, it's wonderful. Yes?
How do we know these people aren't just lying about
the Caribbean? Because we have faith, and because of the miracles that have happened there. There's miracles that are attributed to each one of these. Mary is also the Queen of Heaven, and this is a title that we give to Mary as being the Mother of God. And as I said earlier, we honor and we respect Mary. And she, so we pray through her, not to her. And we're asking her to bring us closer to know her Son better, to have a personal relationship with her Son. She is our path to Jesus. Mary and the saints lead us to Christ. They help us to become holy, and they always point us toward God.
Really quick, you know how you were mentioning about the cactus jacket?
Uh-huh.
This is the case with St. Bernadette. She's incorruptible, so she's still preserved as she, when she first passed.
Yes,
she hasn't really decayed.
No, she hasn't.
She says her hands have discolored just a little bit, but outside of that, she looks like she died.
I know, yeah, that's just amazing. And that, those are miracles. Those are miracles. So that's how we know. And Mary helps us to lead, and the saints help us to lead a saintly life. So that's what we're going to stop right there. And then we're going to put on another PowerPoint. But right now, we're just going to take a break, get something to eat, have some coffee, use the restroom. And then Deacon Phil is going to bless the rosaries that are in the back. So go back and choose your rosary. And if you have a rosary with you, that's fine. And if it hasn't been blessed, Deacon Phil's happy to bless it. And then we'll come back and we're going to go step by step how to pray the rosary. So for those of you at the tables, if you have prayed the rosary before and you're comfortable praying it, if you will help your table mates. Okay? Thank you.
Real quick, another thing from Father Day's video going back to the saints is Catholic schools and Catholic churches are normally named after saints. Our Lady of the Assumption, OLA, is Mary is our patroness, and we have taken Our Lady of the Assumption as our parish name. Her feast day is August 15th, so every August 15th or thereabouts, we have a celebration, which we call a Marian celebration, in honor of Our Lady. And when you go into the church, you'll notice right up in the sacristy, right behind the altar, is that beautiful mural. But turn around and look at the stained glass window in the choir loft, if you haven't done that also, and you'll see another rendition of Mary. So we are very, very blessed to have Mary as our patroness. So let's take a break. And
Thursdays is, Pope John Paul added the Mysteries of Light, which is also known as the Luminous Mysteries. And he added those in 2002. So over the centuries, there's been an evolution of the rosary. It's not as we know it now. It didn't exist as we pray it today. So the first half was in, only the first half was in use, and the word Jesus was not added to the rosary until the 14th century, and then the second half of the prayers came even later still. Our Father and the glory be to the Father were not even a part of the original rosary. And the mysteries were not recited as they are now. Even in the 15th century, Alan de Roop, he was responsible for the revival of the rosary and a devotion after 250 years from St. Dominic. So there was kind of a decline in it, and then he brought it back. And So now, these were divided into three groups of 50s dedicated to the joyful, sorrowful, and the glorious mysteries. And the 15 mysteries that we use today were established in 1569. Yes?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mary did come down to him and told somebody, this is what you're supposed to say.
Uh-huh.
Why would we change it if she came down from heaven?
Well, it was later. It was later than that. Then she was teaching how to pray the rosary. Just different interpretations, you know, kind of humanity kind of gets in the way sometimes, but Mary did come and say this is how that we need to pray the rosary, so she is always our guide. So the joyful mysteries is the Annunciation of the Lord to Mary, the Visitation of Mary to Elizabeth, the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Presentation of our Lord, and finding Jesus in the temple. The sorrowful mysteries are the agony of Jesus in the garden, the scourging at the pillar, Jesus is crowned with thorns, Jesus carried the cross, and the crucifixion. And again, I said we pray this one on Fridays. And it reminds us of his passion and death. The glorious mysteries, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus to heaven, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the assumption of Mary, and Mary is crowned as Queen of heaven and earth. And we pray this one of the days of Sunday because it reminds us of the resurrection of Christ. And this is actually going to be the one that we pray tonight. Since we've been talking about Mary, thought it was appropriate. The Luminous Mysteries is the baptism of Jesus, the wedding feast at Cana, which we talked about earlier, the proclamation of the kingdom of God, the transfiguration of Jesus, the institute of the Eucharist. So, how to pray the rosary. So, you will see at the end of your rosary, there is a crucifix. And on that crucifix, we always pray the Apostles' Creed. So everybody has a booklet, and the prayers that we're going to recite tonight are right here on the inside. So there's the Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, the Fatima Prayer. And then on the back are our prayers that we will pray at the very end. So I'm going to start. And so I will read the first part of the prayer, and then you will repeat the last part. So there's the crucifix, which we pray the Apostles' Creed. And then you see three large beads, which is the one large bead, which is the Our Father. And then there's three beads that are
the dark brown beads.
The Hail Mary, well, depending on what color yours is. Uh-huh. And then the Glory Be. And then we announce the mystery on the large bead, and then we pray the Our Father. And then on the 10 beads, we pray the Hail Mary. So we pray the Hail Mary one time on each bead, all the way up. And then we pray the Glory Be to the Father. We pray the Fatima prayer, and then we will announce the next mystery, the Our Father, and then we move on to the next decade. So everyone at your table who's familiar with praying the rosary, please help, and if you need to get up and walk around. But the book here it really is helpful. This is for you to take home. This is yours to keep. Does anyone have questions? So right now we're going to start, and normally you hold the crucifix, and then you start by making the sign of the cross. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We also have the Apostles' Creed up here. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Then we pray thee, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls into heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. Okay, don't pray this one. Our first mystery is the resurrection. When Peter arrived, he entered the tomb. There he saw that the linens that Jesus was wrapped in were on the floor, but that the cloth that had covered Jesus' face was folded neatly and placed somewhere separate from the other linens. At that moment, both Peter and John believed that Jesus had risen as he said he would. Now we're all going to recite the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And now we're going to pray the 10 decades of the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
And ever shall be, world without end. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those who need of thy mercy. The second mystery, the ascension. As Jesus was blessing them, he went up into a cloud and vanished from their sight. Suddenly, two angels were in their midst and asked him, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven." Now we're going to recite the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with
thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. And as we're reading the mysteries, this is what you should be meditating on as you are praying the Hail Mary for the next decade. And just follow along with each bead. So the third mystery is the descent of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, a mighty wind came up and blew into the room. Then above each of the apostles' heads and that of Mary appeared a tongue of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy.
The fourth mystery is the Assumption of our Blessed Mother. Mary was conceived without sin, and Jesus would not allow her body to decay. The devil had no power over her. Jesus took her body and soul up to heaven, where he had a place prepared for her. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy
Mary, full of grace, the
Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy. The fifth mystery is the coronation of Mary as Queen of Heaven. Mary received the promised, never-fading crown of glory because her life so perfectly resembled that of her sons and because she shared in all his sufferings. As a reward for her holiness and perfection of virtues, Jesus gave her dominion over the angels and the saints by crowning her Queen of Heaven and Earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now and at the hour of our death. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, and especially those who have most need of your mercy. Please turn your booklets over to the back, and we will pray our concluding prayer, the Hail Holy Queen, and our rosary prayer. Go ahead. Hail our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To you do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To you do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, your eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, Holy Mother of God. O God, whose only begotten Son, by his life, death, and resurrection, has purchased for us the rewards of eternal life, grant, we beseech thee, that meditating upon these mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Rosary with you. They have them as you're praying. You always have it with you because you forget your rosary or you can't carry it with you. So, okay. Normally, no, it's not. It's not in danger. Any other questions?